It's Friday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
I tell you, every time I see that old intro with that John Travolta suit on, it makes me want to throw up. I got to be honest with you. Hey, happy Friday, everybody. It is February 17th, 2023. We are, well, as of this recording, less than 24 hours away from Elimination Chamber. And yeah, we're doing an impromptu Friday night episode, which means no Saturday morning show, but Saturday night right after Elimination Chamber, I will be right here discussing everything that went down. Tonight, we're going to talk about two topics. Well, maybe three. SmackDown, which was a fun show. Fans got what they wanted at the end, obviously. We'll talk about that. Elimination Chamber and also WrestleMania, because something happened today during SmackDown that I got to be honest with you, caught us all by surprise. But me thinking a little bit outside the box, I'm going to throw a little curveball for everyone out there. And this does have to do with Bray Wyatt. Believe me, when I give you the idea, it's going to sink in, and you're going to say to yourself, you know, DT, I didn't even think about that. So this is going to have implications for Elimination Chamber, obviously. But you know what? Let's do this. Let's quickly run down the overall of what went down tonight on SmackDown. I think that's the right way to go, because when we get into predictions for Elimination Chamber, especially when we get to the Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley match, what went down tonight on SmackDown directly affects that match. Will the outcome of what I've been saying changes? I'm not so sure. We'll talk about it when we get to it. So anyway, tonight I'm wearing a Hot Rod shirt, and I did it for a reason. One of the matches, we had only four matches tonight. Obviously, a lot, you know, I think obviously they ran out of time. Sami Zayn coming out a little bit late in the show, and my God, he could have just stood there for the entire time, and the fans were serenading him. He's got his old theme song back, which everybody loves. I mean, think about it. His new, well, it's not new anymore, but his most recent theme, you couldn't really, like, sing to it. You couldn't serenade Sami Zayn other than chanting his name. You could still serenade stuff from yesteryear. It's almost like when they want to show a little love for Bayley. They'll do the, ooh, ah, you know what I'm talking about. So them bringing back Sami Zayn's own music is beautiful because it allows the fans to really express. I mean, you look at Cody's theme. Now, listening to Cody's theme for numerous years in AEW, when it debuted in WWE, it was surreal at first because you never thought you would hear that theme in WWE. But, you know, when everybody, you know, serenades that one verse in a song, I can only imagine when Jericho does return to WWE, if they let him come out to Judas, you know, hearing it in the beginning, it'll sound odd, but after a while, I think people will, you know, it gets a little kind of, but here, people just want to scream. They want a voice. They want to express themselves, show their love for Sami Zayn. And, you know, I pointed this out right before we went live tonight. You know, in less than 12 months, you think back a little over a year ago, seriously, think back to about 13 months ago. Think about Kevin Owens and think about Sami Zayn. And at that time, Kevin Owens, I think, had recently signed a new deal. And we were all talking about how Sami Zayn, you know, would he have the Intercontinental title for a short period of time, but really stuck in the mud. Kevin Owens kind of stuck in the mud. You know, no titles for quite some time. And in 12 months, in about 12 months span, we got Kevin Owens main eventing one of the nights of WrestleMania against Steve Austin. And now you have Sami Zayn main eventing the Elimination Chamber against Roman Reigns. remember, Steve Austin beat Kevin Owens. Nobody really thinks about that aspect of it. It's just, what a great 12-month period for both Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's why the two of them, hugging, embracing, holding those tag team championships up high at WrestleMania, is the perfect ending to this chapter. You know, now tomorrow, an Elimination Chamber, one chapter in the book of Sami Zayn will close, but a new chapter will start. Now, for everybody tonight, it was Sami Zayn coming home to Montreal. But before we got Sami Zayn towards the end of the show, we had, as I said, four matches. And, you know, I got to show a little love for Ronda Rousey. I know it's unpopular. I know, especially on Twitter, the fun thing to do is like almost orgasm when the Montreal crowd is chanting, "You can't wrestle. You can't wrestle." And I'm not going to lie to you. When I first heard it tonight, even though the crowd was lively, I'm like, eh, you know, it's a little fucked up. But, by the end of that match, people were praising it. Natalya and Shotzi Blackheart, even though they lost the match, you know, they had a great match against Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey. And something that we have noticed about Ronda Rousey, you know, she's thick-skinned, obviously, but she does confront a lot of the negative buzz about her. She does not keep silent. And I actually do have an audio clip I'm going to share with all of you in a few moments. But she definitely likes to, answer back. And after thinking about it tonight, I said, you know what? That "You Can't Wrestle" chant might be the best thing that could happen to Ronda Rousey right now. Because I think deep down inside, even though she is still, you know, quite new to pro wrestling because she hasn't had a, you know, giant resume as far as matches, and they are set up a certain way where it's very one-sided at times, but that gets under her skin. That might be the turning point that really is like, you know what, let me just shut these people up. And I think she may actually up it a notch. And that was the opening match tonight. And do you remember Survivor Series? Do you remember the botched DDT between her and Shotzi? Tonight, that wrong was righted. Tonight, no botch. I'm going to show you, remind you what happened at Survivor Series. I'm going to let you hear about 45 seconds of Ronda Rousey talking about that botch, and then I'll show you what happened tonight. So that was their gear tonight, you know, coming out in their gear. And I see in the background, somebody had sent me a super chat about WrestleMania with those two. I will answer that in a moment. But I want to flash everybody back to this moment at Survivor Series. And as I show it to you, I want you to hear Ronda Rousey talking about that botched DDT. Check this out.
Oh, God, that DDT on the apron. So let me explain what happened. I actually pitched that spot because I loved that she does that. But we couldn't practice it in my ring because the ropes were too loose. So, and then we couldn't practice it when we got to the arena because there was these big ages. So everybody was like, I'd taken DDTs before, but I'd never, like, helped anybody over the floor. So, like, they're like, okay, you got to have your hand here on her leg, another hand on her hip, and you're going to guide her over. And everyone was, like, so focused on, like, got to guide her over, you got to guide her to the floor, that it was literally all that was on my mind when it happened. I fucked it up because I was so concerned with keeping somebody safe. And a lot of times when you see me do something the first time, it's the first time I ever did it. It's the first time I ever did it. I was really concerned with keeping Shotzi safe, and I made it look bad. And you know what? Sorry, okay?
That was her explanation as far as what happened. And if you go check out our recap from Survivor Series, we even said that night, you know, it seemed like they never practiced that spot before. Now, we didn't know about the ropes and everything else. But tonight, I'll show it to you in full speed. And then I'll show it to you in slow motion. This is tonight on SmackDown. they wanted to right the wrong, and check this out.
Dear life at this point, and again, that erratic stop. Oh,
beautiful.
Ronda Rousey.
Beautiful. Let's see that in slow motion. Watch this. This was tremendous. There you go. This is what was supposed to happen at Survivor Series. Boom. Beautiful. Beautiful. I know Ronda Rousey gets under people's skin, and rightfully so. I mean, I totally understand why people think she's a douche sometimes. But you know what? I got to give her props, man. You know, when you hear a little bit more that the original spot was her idea, and she was very nervous about hurting Shotzi, and to see them tonight do that. And like I said, by the end of the match was great. The match was great. So I give them props for that. Again, that You Can't Wrestle chant, you know, if that gets under her skin, we might see a better Shotzi, Ronda Rousey in 2023. So, Ronda wins with the armbar on Shotzi. We'll get to Bray Wyatt in a minute. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus over the Viking Raiders. It was a very competitive match, but, you know, again, no disrespect to the Viking Raiders, but where do you go from here? I mean, honestly, I'm not feeling it. The vignettes is really all the substance about the Viking Raiders right now. WWE SmackDown showed a little bonus footage from last week. And in case you missed tonight's SmackDown or didn't see the footage last week, after SmackDown ended last Friday night, there was a dark match, and it was Bray Wyatt beating LA Knight. So Rey Mysterio, they recorded him in the back talking to Santos Escobar, and they were both showing signs of respect, exchanging masks, hugging, showing a lot of love towards each other. You know, something you rarely ever saw like that in WWE ever. I mean, especially under the Vince McMahon regime. If you heard the Bray Wyatt theme in the background, that's because this segment was filmed right after SmackDown and Bray was out there for his dark match with LA Knight. But they showed that again tonight, and Karrion Kross shows up and he basically says, you know, I wanted to have children, but after I saw the disdain that your son has for you, I kind of changed my mind. And, you know, Kross is telling him, you're so embarrassed to yourself, you got to walk around with a mask, TikTok. Well, we find out they're going to have another match next week. So we'll see. I expect Dominic Mysterio probably to show up next week on SmackDown. Once Chamber is over, it's the straight road to WrestleMania, so shit's going to happen. Hey, we're not talking AEW tonight or Tony Khan or any of that other nonsense, but you know, you kind of felt with AEW that Keith Lee was going to return this week, and sure enough, with Rampage early, Keith Lee returned. So I think this is going to lead to Dominic showing up. And let me tell you something. Kross kind of aligning himself with Dominic would be really, really interesting. You know, only for like one night. I'm not saying that they should be, you know, Dom is with Judgment Day. So we're not, and I don't think Kross would be a good fit for Judgment Day either. Asuka over Liv Morgan. In a fun match, all the women from the Chamber showed up at ringside. Nikki Cross kissing Michael Cole, being annoying at ringside. Carmella doing a little bit of commentary. After the match is over, a lot of the women get offense on each other. Raquel Rodriguez gets knocked down by Liv Morgan, every woman for herself. A little stare down with Liv Morgan and Asuka after the match, looking up at the Chamber. So tomorrow night, all that goes down. Gunther winning over Madcap Moss. Gunther tremendously over with that crowd. You could see, you could feel it, you could hear it, the deep respect that WWE fans are showing to Gunther now. You know, and when he first lost all that weight, you know, you kind of felt like he doesn't look, you know, like he should. Now, I mean, he's pretty much sealed it. I mean, he has definitely cemented himself on that roster. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see over the next year or two how far Gunther could go. You know, could he be world champion? I definitely think so. Absolutely. Especially when they go back to two world champions, you know, down the line. Sure. Why wouldn't you? I think him as a heel champion on SmackDown for a little while, I think that would be pretty fucking great. So next week we have Charlotte and Rhea Ripley with a little face-to-face. Rey Mysterio and Karrion Kross will have a match. The Firefly Funhouse, returns next week. And you think back to the return of Bray Wyatt with the White Rabbits and all the QR codes and revel in this and revel in that and Uncle Howdy and Uncle this and Uncle that. I guarantee you 95% of us out there never thought that within a matter of 6+ months, they would be pretty much going back to what we had before. I'm not complaining. I enjoyed the Firefly Funhouse. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I've showed you. We got tons of Firefly Funhouse shit over here. Tons of memorabilia that I still haven't given away on these shows. But I don't think any of us ever envisioned that we would get the Firefly, and the, you know, the bringing back all the characters as well. But tonight on SmackDown, Bray Wyatt hits the ring with Uncle Howdy, and they pretty much just lay out Hit Row. Hit Row's in the ring, and basically they hit Sister Abigail, and Hit Row's out of there. Bray Wyatt gets on the mic, and the crowd is loving it. Crowd is chanting, holy shit. If you had silence on your TV, that's because of the holy shit chants. But in the ring, you have Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy. And Uncle Howdy is full-blown Sister Abigail, and people are still trying to figure out if this is Bo Dallas or if it's Vincent from Ring of Honor, you know. But you could see when they are right next to each other, Uncle Howdy is a little shorter than Bray Wyatt, but Bray Wyatt with a challenge that I guarantee you I didn't even see coming. And I'm going to be straight up. For all of you that are regulars to my show, you know how much I am a fan of Bray Wyatt, but I will even say it. Bray Wyatt gets on the mic, and he says, he calls out Bobby Lashley, and he calls out Brock Lesnar, and basically says that whoever comes out on top tomorrow at Elimination Chamber, he's got a warning for that person. Run. And then we go fade to black. So Bray Wyatt on SmackDown issued, which is a WrestleMania challenge, to Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar. Now, if you pay very close attention to Bray Wyatt's in-ring work, I'm not going to lie to you. How the fuck is that going to work with Brock Lesnar? I don't know. I close my eyes and I try to envision the match. I mean, I don't see that clicking very well. And Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt, you know, some people were like tonight, like, oh, you know, a match we've never seen, Brock versus Bray. Just because we've never seen the match doesn't mean it's going to be good. You know, I am a huge Bray Wyatt fan. I'm a huge Brock Lesnar fan. And even I will stay here. I think about that match, I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm not feeling it. But I have an idea that I'm telling you, you could go on Twitter. I guarantee you, you will not find one person who has written it before I'm saying this now. And I'm not saying I'm going to be right, but I'm going to throw a little curveball out there as far as what could happen at WrestleMania. But Bray Wyatt issuing a challenge. Whoever wins tomorrow between Brock and Lashley, run. So that was pretty fucking wild, man. So to close out the night, and this is about a little more than 5 minutes before they go off the air. Sami Zayn's music is playing. Old theme comes out. Crowd giving him a pop. And if you looked at Sami Zayn, he was just, you know, walk. He's just in tears. You know, listen, coming home is always emotional. Coming home is always emotional. But, you know, to feel that, and here's the difference. If Sami Zayn wasn't in Montreal tonight, and Sami Zayn was in Texas, or if Sami Zayn was in Australia, or if Sami Zayn was in New York, or if Sami Zayn was in Chicago, or Sami Zayn was in California, or Sami Zayn was in Detroit, or Sami Zayn was in the UK, that crowd would pop loud because everybody has fallen in love with Sami Zayn. You know, a lot of us have talked about the comparisons of the Yes Movement, falling in love with Daniel Bryan. Let me tell you something. I know Shitskeeda posted it a couple of days ago, but I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, and I'm not saying, oh, I was first in this and that, but, you know, I'm just pointing it out. I think other people are starting to notice it too. This is giving me Mick Foley vibes from the late 90s, where we just fell in love, you know, personally for Mick Foley. You know, just there's a special connection there with Sami Zayn. And yes, we know what the outcome is going to be at Elimination Chamber. But Sami Zayn hits the ring, and he says, this time every year, everybody points to the WrestleMania sign, and he tells Montreal and the WWE Universe that tomorrow Roman Reigns goes down. No Roman Reigns showing up tonight. No sneak attacks. No Kevin Owens. Maybe there's a dark match tonight. Who knows? But Sami Zayn, you know, the fans loved it, and it came off really, really well on TV. And it's awesome. It's awesome because it's not just the storyline really developing as good as it can be. You know, maybe not as good for some because people are still trying to tease this three-way at WrestleMania, which is just stupid because you know that's not going to happen. You know, people are just doing it for hits. You know, focus on what the obvious is. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we beloved Sami Zayn any less. It was a fun episode of SmackDown tonight. It did what it needed to do. Some of the matches didn't really need hype because we got a lot of it on Raw. So, without further ado, let's get into predictions. Elimination Chamber. And again, when we talk about Brock versus Bobby, now, understand something. For those that are watching this on the replay especially, understand that we go live less than 5 minutes after the TV show goes off the air. So I haven't had a lot of time to let this sink in and digest. So some of you out there may think that my idea is stupid. Some of you out there might think that it's not a bad idea at all. So, you know, and let's also be honest about something else. This event is very predictable in a lot of ways. I mean, we know whose matches are theirs to lose, if you want to say it that way. Nonetheless, because everything is so strong and the wrestlers have been positioned in a very good way, you know, even though it's very predictable, doesn't mean it's not going to be good. It's going to be a phenomenal event tomorrow. So we got 5 matches. And if you remember on Monday, we talked about last year's Elimination Chamber, which was 7 matches. And, you know, even the Roman Reigns title defense last year against Goldberg, that only went like 4 or 5 minutes. So you know Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn this time around is probably going to go 20. And there's going to be a lot of chaos as well. So let's get into the matches. All right, opening match. Let's see what we got first. Oh, the Women's Elimination Chamber. I think it's pretty obvious. Nothing against the other women in this match. But WWE has taken notice a lot of the frustration. And I think this all begins with Kairi Sane leaving WWE. We were in COVID at that time, and Kairi Sane versus Asuka was an awesome tag team. But if you remember the tag team division at that time, it was very, very light, to say it least. It was not very strong. And Kairi Sane, you know, I still remember that night with her and Nia Jax, which was terrible. You know, she left. And after that, it just felt like Asuka was in a rut. And it wasn't her fault. It's just that WWE, I think, trying to elevate other women from Liv Morgan, you know, Alexa Bliss and others, you know, Asuka was kept on the back burner. I mean, you think back to Asuka and NXT. And then you come to the main roster, you know, we still remember her feud with Carmella at that time with James Ellsworth. And a lot of people were pissed off because it felt so lopsided. But that was a little bit of WWE's fault because they made Asuka so undefeated. You know, like, just, you couldn't defeat her. She was unbeatable. They had to bring her down to everybody's level. You know, Charlotte Flair, when she took on Asuka at WrestleMania, a lot of people were pissed off. Oh, how could you have this person go over this person? They had to start bringing Asuka down to earth. And I think a lot of people forget, when Asuka first came to the main roster, she was so dominant that, you know, with the exception of a real select few, you couldn't envision Asuka losing a match to somebody like Carmella or Liv Morgan or Dana Brooke or something like that. You just, like, how do you even believe that? It's just like when Shayna Baszler first came to the main roster. How are we supposed to have suspension of disbelief that someone who is a crazy MMA fighter could lose in a wrestling? It was so one-sided. But I think WWE is finally taking notice. And Asuka, you know, new face paint, new theme music, you know, new attitude, you know, new energy, new life. So Asuka, I think, is the odds-on favorite to win this. She's got to win it. I think fans would not be happy with anybody but Asuka. Natalya versus Bianca at WrestleMania? Eh-eh. Liv Morgan? No. Raquel Rodriguez? Not yet. Even though that would have a good NXT background storyline, you definitely could see a nice vignette video package built up for that. We don't need it for WrestleMania. Nikki Cross, with all due respect, no, no. And Carmella, she just returned. Glad to see her back, especially under the circumstances of why she was out. But Asuka is the only person here that should win this match. And she will win this match. And it'll be Asuka versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. Who will win that? Well, we have plenty of weeks to think about it and talk about it. But Asuka's going to win this tomorrow. I mean, you can pretty much bet everything on that. All right, next. Let's see what we got here. Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. Edge, in his promo on Monday, is so spot on. You look at Judgment Day 1 year ago to now, every single member has upped their value on the food chain. Damian Priest, I mean, you remember that little bit of a lull? You know, do you remember, like, after he, you know, started turning babyface, shooting the arrows, and people were like, you know, I don't know. Is this something lacking about him? The guy has found it. Finn Balor. Who would have ever thought in this faction that Finn Balor, you know, would be even at a whole different level? Finn Balor, I mean, and as a WWE heel, you know, being a heel in Japan is much different as being a heel in WWE. And he has fit in beautifully. Rhea Ripley, I don't even need to say anything. And Dominic Mysterio, so many of you are finally starting to see it with Dominic. He is that mosquito you just want to slap. His role right now is to be that dumb, naive, you know, conceited, you know, ballsy kid that you just want to see get his ass kicked, and he hides behind Mammy. He hides behind Judgment Day, Finn Balor, Damian Priest. You want to see Dominic get his ass kicked. That's his role. And in the process, he's developing. He's getting more matches, psychology. You know, even, you know, him yelling out for Rhea Ripley when Beth Phoenix is about to nail a finisher, you know, on him. Little things like that. You know, doing the arresting and he's still talking streets. You know, he's done beautiful. So, Edge and Beth Phoenix win this one. So, I know what some of you are saying, like, well, logic, you know, you would think, oh, they're on a roll. How would you have Edge and Beth? Well, Finn Balor is going to be the one that's going to be pinned here. Finn Balor can lose this match, lose zero momentum. Rhea Ripley is not going to get pinned in this match. Sure, you could have some clusterfuck. You could have some interference. You could have Dominic at ringside and something goes awry and Rhea Ripley could get rolled up or something like that. And Charlotte Flair could rub it in when they have their face-to-face next week. But in my honest opinion, Finn Balor could eat this pin, and he loses no momentum whatsoever. So I personally think with Edge, if they stay, you know, maybe he changes his mind. But a lot of people, I think, still haven't sunk in that this is going to be Edge's last year in the ring. And if Edge retires, I think Beth Phoenix does not wrestle either. I think they both, you know, are done. I hope Edge reconsiders for another year or two. I would love to see him and Christian have one more match together as a tag team. And yes, he could retire and come out of retirement. But with Edge, it feels different. It feels like, you know, Edge was out for many, many years. And he came back. And I could only imagine what that feels like to think that your career is over. And for 7, 8 years, whatever it was, you train and you fight, not only physically, but emotionally, thinking, could I ever get back? Could I ever get back? I miss it. I want it. I need it. And then you finally get it. And after a couple of years, okay, now I can retire. Whoa. The guy is in tremendous shape still. The guy could still go. So, you know, as selfish wrestling fans, we hope that Edge changes his mind. But as of right now, 2023 is it. This match at Elimination Chamber, him teaming up with his wife, I mean, you have to get a little revenge, especially after the concerto that Beth Phoenix received a while back. So Edge and Beth Phoenix will get this win over Finn Balor. Oh, thank you, Psycho. 9 years for Edge, not seven, nine. Nine. So, you know, and not only that, Edge and Beth Phoenix, their kids get to see them team up. You know, maybe they're a little young to understand some of it, but, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Remember why, you know, Goldberg came back to wrestling, why MVP wanted to do a little bit again. Why sometimes, you know, you have children, you want your children to not just watch video from 15, 20 years ago. They want to experience live, you know, their children to see live what daddy used to do and maybe could still do. So I'm going with Edge and Beth Phoenix to win this one. All right. Moving right along. Okay. The men's Elimination Chamber match. Montez Ford versus Johnny Gargano versus Bronson Reed versus Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest versus the United States Champion Austin Theory. For me, it comes down to two people. Montez Ford or Austin Theory. Bronson Reed, no disrespect, but as we talked about on Monday, he has not clicked with the fans as of yet. Dead silence. There ain't no fucking way he's walking out of a United States champion. People will find out even a worse decision than AEW putting the tag titles on the guns right now. Bronson Reed is in there to be impressive, probably destroy a pod, you know, do some holy shit moments, toss someone like a salad. That's Bronson Reed's role, to show what damage he can do. Seth Rollins is going to be taking on Logan Paul at WrestleMania. So Seth Rollins, something will happen there. Logan Paul will, poke fun at Seth Rollins, rub it in his face. And this continues a little bit more. Damian Priest, no need right now to put a title on him. There's no real strong feud for him going into WrestleMania, so I say no to Damian Priest. Montez Ford would be a great upset. It would be really fascinating to see how the Street Profits would continue with Montez Ford holding singles gold. But in my opinion right now, you know, I still am leaning to Austin Theory, especially with John Cena returning to take him on at WrestleMania. The only way I see Montez Ford winning is, I picture this in my mind. I picture Austin Theory losing the championship and then John Cena showing up and John Cena just looking at Austin Theory and saying, the champ is here. You know, like, or as a question mark, the champ is here. Like, Austin Theory has been using all the John Cena mannerisms and phrases to taunt John Cena. People haven't figured it out by now. But I personally think Austin Theory showing up, the, you know, still doing the champ is here and mocking John Cena. I think that still is a must. Montez Ford winning the championship? Shit. Maybe you have Montez Ford versus Angelo Dawkins at WrestleMania for that championship. I just personally think that right now, if you split up the Street Profits, I think a lot of people will feel, man, they should have done a lot more as a tag team and didn't. I think a lot of you out there feel very underwhelmed with the Street Profits and the way they've been used over the last year. I personally think not yet. So I'm going with Austin Theory to retain, but if there's going to be a title change, I think Montez Ford is the only person that should get that championship. All right. So that leaves us with two matches. And I'm glad that this was the order. And I put this order before SmackDown even aired. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Many of us were very surprised that they were doing this at the Chamber instead of WrestleMania. But as we talked with the WWE sale, and by the way, on Monday, we are going to have a lot of fun about this $9 million story that's floating around. Oh, man, we're going to have 3 minutes of fun on Monday. It's going to rehash an audio clip from a few weeks ago. Yeah, that's going to be fun. But, you know, as we said 2 weeks ago, them doing this match is because with the WWE on sale, it's like an open house. You ever see one of these renovation shows? I can't remember any of the names of the shows right now, but people buy like, you know, there's like some schmuck in Las Vegas who buys like these rundown houses and then he like freshes them up and revamps them. And then they show the open house and everybody walks in like, oh, what beautiful sinks. Oh, look at this. Oh my God, this is perfect. Oh, I could see myself living here. Oh, honey, you got to buy the house. And you never see on TV like, I don't know, something smells in here. It smells like somebody had sex in the other room. I don't know, man. You see this neighborhood? Look at this neighborhood. There's like spray paint down the corner. You never see anybody knock anything. But it's like, you know, when you have an open house, you want every wall in that house to be clean. You want everything to look perfect. You want everything to look spotless. You want everything to look as the top it can be. So WWE on sale right now, they want to maximize every fucking event, every premium live event, every fucking house show. They want to have so much buzz and momentum that if Vince shits gold, the stock goes up 20 cents. You know, so Brock and Bobby Lashley being bumped up to Elimination Chamber is fascinating because it wasn't needed. With Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn, that storyline in itself gets everybody to tune in. There's not one of you that wasn't going to tune in tomorrow if Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar wasn't on the card, but they just want, it's like, okay, you know, I don't just want to win the batting title. I want to fucking blow everybody out of the water. When you beat someone in a video game, you don't want to just beat them by a field goal or a basket or a run in the bottom of the ninth. You want to hit a fucking grand slam. You want to beat them 65-0. You want to stuff, you know, the ball down their throat. So WWE, they're not content with just things being, oh, it was great. Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was excellent. You know, WWE's on a roll. No, they want to go that extra oomph. They want that extra, and that's why they're doing this. Now, the big question is, who comes out on top? Because up until this week, I thought this match ends in a clusterfuck. It ends in chaos. There is no stipulation. It's not a no DQ. It's not a false count anywhere. If we see weapons used outside the ring, yeah, you're going to probably have a disqualification. So this is just a regular match. So my original thought was these two guys want to beat the shit out of each other so bad that it's going to end in a no contest, double DQ, double count out. Referee cannot contain it. Then it leads to Mania where they fight each other in a cage, in a cell, whatever it is, fight, whatever you want to come up with. But since they kept insisting on 1-1, you know, Brock's got to win. Bobby's got to win. Even though Bobby eliminated Brock at Royal Rumble, it doesn't necessarily make him 2-1 on this. So My thinking is, if you have to pick a winner, I'm going with Brock Lesnar. But, motherfucker Bray Wyatt. Not only Bray Wyatt, my friends, not only Bray Wyatt, hang on, Uncle Howdy too. Understand this, everyone. Uncle Howdy as well. Bray Wyatt issued a challenge tonight to the winner of this match with Uncle Howdy standing next to him. That challenge is going to be for WrestleMania. So if anything is going to happen with Uncle Howdy getting involved in Bray's match, it's going to be at WrestleMania. This isn't a challenge for Friday Night SmackDown. There is no other premium live event outside of Elimination Chamber leading to WrestleMania. So now you say to yourself, what the fuck? Who's going to face Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania? Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball. I know people think Bobby Lashley is going to reunite with MVP, Shelton, and Cedric, and the Hurt Business will be back as a cohesive unit. Thing is, though, is little bizarro land's going on right now. Cedric and Shelton have been kind of positioned as baby faces the last 2 weeks. You know, yes, they could end up full-blown heel, and it kind of feels weird for MVP to be a baby face. But there is a possibility that this faction could be a baby face going forward. And if that's the case, I'm going to throw a curveball. My idea is Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley still have that no contest, beat the fuck out of each other. But there's a mutual respect towards each other because neither one gave in, you know, like, and you could picture Brock Lesnar like, you know what? I want a good fucking fight. Somebody can hang with me. That's what I fucking want. That's what I respect. And I wonder if it's going to be Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar teaming up at WrestleMania against Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy. Uncle Howdy makes his in-ring wrestling debut, and who knows, maybe at WrestleMania, the mask comes off and it's revealed who is Uncle Howdy behind the mask. Now, let me be straight up. Think back to what I said earlier discussing SmackDown. I still can't picture Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar meshing. I think of Uncle Howdy. If it's Bo Dallas, and I watched some older Bo Dallas work very recently to be reminded of what he does in the ring, and he's decent in the ring. I can't picture Bo Dallas and Brock Lesnar working good together. Bobby Lashley, it's a little different, but I can't picture Brock Lesnar meshing with Bray or Uncle Howdy if it's Bo Dallas. Now, if it's Vincent, it's a little different. It's a little different. But still, I just can't see where it meshes. So I don't know. I mean, my gut feeling is that it ends in a no contest, no winner. And then maybe there is the tag match. It is random. It is random. None of us expected Bray Wyatt to call those guys out. You think of the entire roster to use for wrestling. I mean, think about it. But then again, you know, could it be cinematic? I doubt it. I don't think this is cinematic because I know some of you are probably going to say, well, maybe it would work with Brock if it's a cinematic match. I just can't picture. What are you going to do? Brock is going to be in the fucking woods hunting Bray Wyatt, like coming out with his rifle trying to fucking fight? I mean, just like, I don't know. I just, something is lacking in this unless another person is developed. But I'm going to go with the no contest. If I had to pick a winner, I go with Brock Lesnar. I go with Brock Lesnar because Bobby Lashley, especially if they reunite the Hurt Business, you know, that faction. And listen, I guarantee you there's going to be, and I've thought about this earlier, I guarantee you there's going to be people out there that can say, you know what, maybe Bray could debut another one or two people and we have the Hurt Business versus the Wyatt family. You know, maybe Bray introduces another one or two characters. And then maybe you have the Hurt Business versus Bray Wyatt and crew. That's a possibility. It's still very, very random. If I saw Bray Wyatt and two or three people in on one side of the ring, it's got to be three, and the Hurt Business on the opposite, I don't picture the fans going, holy shit, holy shit. It doesn't have, it just feels very, very random still. Still very random. So I'm going to go with, no contest. But again, if I have to pick a winner, I choose Brock. But I still think it should end as a clusterfuck. That these guys, they can't confine them inside the ring. Who knows? Maybe Bray does challenge him to SmackDown. And then we don't have to worry about WrestleMania with Bray versus either one of them. So, all right. Obviously, the main event, there's really not much doubt as far as who's going to win. Roman Reigns is going to retain his championships. Those are set aside for Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. The big question is what happens tomorrow. Now, there are some rumors going around. Rumors. Now, honestly, after all of the wrong shit, and listen, if you've been paying attention the last 24 hours, people are desperate for hits and views, man. Desperate. Oh, WWE is looking to sign Jay White. Oh, WWE wants Kenny Omega. Let me tell you something. You know, people are just trying to throw shit out there just for clicks. Anything to get you to click on an article. You know, who in WWE management is going to turn around and leak to WrestlingBullshit.com that they want to grab Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks? And why wouldn't Tony Khan immediately come out there and say, you know, WWE, you got to stop fucking trying to, you know, that's tampering and this is an ad. Stop talking to my fucking people, this and that. Or you don't see any of that. These are people just trying to create bullshit to get you to click on their stuff. So with all of the fake, horrible bullshit news, the fraud, everything that's been wrong, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I hear now that the Usos are allowed in Canada, well, I think Jey Uso was always allowed in Canada. I'm not sure, but Jimmy Uso is the one, you know. And by the way, did you notice tonight how they just were showing recaps of last week and not really like giving like extra like, you know, like, well, this could happen. So there's a rumor going around that the Usos are allowed in Canada. So that's something for you to think about. But again, you look at the track record of a lot of people out there, you know, it's hard to believe that that's the case. On the opposite side, though, it would be a little strange. The way SmackDown went down tonight, it would be a little strange to not have the Usos there. You know, you would have thought maybe you have like a little simulcast where the Usos are home. Or the Usos are watching from here. You know what I mean? Like, something feels lacking. Now, Solo Sikoa, though, Solo Sikoa is a different animal. Solo Sikoa, be very interesting to see what his role is at Elimination Chamber. Now, we've talked about the return of Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle has unfinished business with Solo Sikoa. A lot of people are leaning towards Solo Sikoa versus Matt Riddle at WrestleMania. Now, right before Elimination Chamber, here comes the nugget. Oh, Randy Orton is ready for a return. So now do you say to yourself, oh, wait a minute. Could Randy Orton and Matt Riddle reunite and reform RK-Bro and then feud with the Usos after WrestleMania? No titles are on the line. That's something to think about. So, the big question is, who gets involved tomorrow in this match? Kevin Owens obviously has to. This tomorrow, the chapter with Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns closes. A lot of people won't like the ending of that chapter, but a new chapter will begin. And that'll be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn back together as a team. Even in defeat tomorrow with Sami Zayn, the story of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn reuniting and ultimately taking on the Usos at WrestleMania is the new story. Now, if the Usos are allowed to show up tomorrow, wouldn't that be something if Jey Uso shows up and acts like he is going to help Sami Zayn and then kicks him in the mouth? People would be like, holy shit, holy shit. You almost feel like Vince McMahon, WWE, had to fucking pull magic strings in Canada. Get these motherfuckers behind. Please, you got to let them in. Just let them in for 10 minutes. Just let them cross the border for 15 minutes. We just need them to kick Sami Zayn in the mouth and he could go right back across the border. You could have security waiting in the back. You know, you almost feel like if Jay is going to hurt Sami, you feel like Elimination Chamber has to be it. Remember Solo Sikoa's debut on the main roster. He caused Drew McIntyre's win at Clash at the Castle against Roman Reigns. Now, I, at the time, did not like it, you know, if you think back at that story, but now you realize how important Solo Sikoa is in this plan. Solo ruined Drew McIntyre's moment. Somebody needs to ruin Sami Zayn's moment tomorrow. And I don't think Solo Sikoa is that person, because we're not leading to a Solo Sikoa versus Sami Zayn feud. Solo Sikoa could show up tomorrow. Now, originally, I thought Matt Riddle would negate Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa tries to get involved. Matt Riddle makes a surprise return. Matt Riddle chases Solo away, brawls into the crowd with Solo Sikoa. Holy shit, Matt Riddle's back, and then that leads to him challenging Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania. That could work tomorrow, absolutely. But I also think Kevin Owens is the factor as well. Solo Sikoa shows up, Kevin Owens shows up. And then maybe Kevin Owens causes that. And then we have to see what happens with the Usos. The problem with this is we don't know if the Usos are going to be there. As of right now, you know, listen, even though we love this story, even though some people think that this is award-winning writing, laws are laws. And as a wrestling fan, I would love for the Usos to be able to go to Canada. All right. But I just, when you understand the laws, and as far as what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do into another country, you know, like, I personally think this would be news outside of pro wrestling if Canada made an exception for a one-time event for someone who committed a criminal offense that has issues, and as because of those issues and the laws of Canada, he is not allowed to enter the country. Listen, I'm not trying to be overdramatic here. Think about laws. Like, you just, it doesn't make sense that you make an exception, oh, because it's good shit. It's such good shit. You got to let them in for 10 minutes. Doesn't make sense. So another problem is this. Here's another problem. Jimmy Uso, whatever his situation is legally with DWIs, you know, and the alcohol offenses and, you know, his background, if something was rectified, we would have heard about it. And it doesn't have to just pop up on TMZ. You know, you can follow court cases. You can do background checks. If you want to spend the money, you could fucking run a check on Jimmy Uso and what's actually on his record. It's pretty much open information. It's public record. So the thing is that if Jimmy Uso was able to go into Canada, it's not because they made an exception, as these morons online are writing. It's because they rectified his issues legally. So my point is, if Jimmy Uso is allowed in Canada, he's allowed in Canada, period. Not just for this event. This is not somebody who's traveling into another country and just gets a temporary visa or a work visa or something like that. There were criminal reasons why Jimmy Uso was not allowed in Canada. So if he shows up tomorrow at Elimination Chamber, it is because his criminal stuff has been resolved. And let me tell you something. There is a good chance that it was resolved. You know, I know, you know, some of his issues with alcohol, you know, are terrible. But understand, you know, that's something that can be rectified, you know, within the court system. So it's definitely possible. The problem is, and maybe this is a good thing for all of us, going into Elimination Chamber, we have no idea if the Usos are going to show up, which probably makes it even more fun because we're wondering, are they going to show up? And if they do, what happens if Jay turns on Sammy? That's the question. So look, the outcome, obviously, Roman Reigns wins, retains, and it leads to WrestleMania against Cody. I thought about the idea of Sammy winning by disqualification. Roman Reigns breaking the rules a little too much, call for the bell. I don't think the IWC would sit well with that. There would be too many people on social media. Oh, Roman fucking disqualification. That's bullshit. We want a clear winner. Sammy should get a rematch. He lost it. There would be too much of that online. You can't have Sami Zayn win by disqualification, in my opinion. Sami Zayn losing by disqualification. Okay, that's another scenario people have brought up. I don't see that either. Sami Zayn, the whole story is, I want to take what you got, Roman. Those titles is everything to you. I want to take what you got. Why would Sami disqualify himself? He wants point to WrestleMania. You can point all you want. You get disqualified. You ain't going to WrestleMania against Cody. So no, Sammy does not get disqualified. And no, I don't think Roman gets disqualified because the IWC would be too irate about a bullshit finish like that. So Roman Reigns will pin Sami Zayn. Question is, what happens? Ref bump? Yeah, probably ref bump. That's where you get all the interference. Maybe Solo shows up, Kevin Owens negates him. All right, maybe Solo shows up, Matt Riddle negates him. The Usos show up, and Jimmy and Jay maybe have an argument in the ring. Jimmy wants to go after Sammy. Jay stops him, and they tease a little bit of arguing in the ring and maybe a little bit of pushing, and then Sammy, who is wobbly, maybe was laid out on the mat, gets up on his feet, and Jay Uso gives him a super kick. Then they hit the splash or the one and done, and then Roman Reigns gets the pin. That's what could end up happening. So Roman Reigns will retain, but obviously the next chapter is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going for the tag titles at WrestleMania. So there's no way Kevin Owens turns heel. The story, how this has been built, there is no way whatsoever. So tomorrow night, I will be live right after Elimination Chamber with your post-show review. I hope you could join me here. And on Sunday, if there's anything else on your mind, do I have a preview picture? I don't have it yet. But Sunday, 8:05 p.m., sit down. We will definitely discuss everything now. I saw one super chat come in that has nothing to do about what we talked tonight. And, you know, I hope you don't get mad, but I'm really not getting into that topic tonight. I wrote at the beginning of the show. All right. And I will get to that in a minute. So I'll owe you for Sunday. But Ronnie C, after watching SmackDown tonight, do I think Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania could happen? That was the sausage I put out there last week. I'm sticking with it. The fact that Michael Cole tonight brought up again that Shane is kind of like sick and tired of everybody saying that she's in the shadow of Ronda Rousey, they're leaving it out there for a reason. I know I'm the only one out there. I'm still going on record. I know everybody's like, oh, no, Ronda and Shayna versus Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Yeah, I saw that dumb website that wrote that. If that ends up being a match at WrestleMania, I will eat my hat. Seriously. I will tear my hat apart. I will eat part of it. Where I will pretend to be part of it. I'll do something stupid on the show. But no, I think Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler could happen at WrestleMania. I'm still going with it. I like thinking outside the box, and I think that would be a very intriguing match to happen at WrestleMania. So I'm still going with that. Thank you, Ronnie. Chris Silva with the 5-spot. DT, do I think Cody Rhodes should be the one to defeat Roman Reigns, or should Bron Breakker do it? Oh, absolutely Cody Rhodes. I mean, this is documentary territory, everyone. WWE's filming documentary right now. The road, R-H-O-A-D, to WrestleMania. Finish the story. Right now, they're videotaping like Cody kissing his kid, hugging Brandy, looking at old videos of Dusty. And I'm not saying I'm mocking. They're filming all of this emotion, every step that leads up to it. When he has those titles in the air, this is going to be, listen, I know sometimes too much cake and ice cream gives you a tummy ache, but in this case, the right ending of this story will happen. This is not Vince McMahon writing this. And I will even say, if Cody loses at WrestleMania, I will go on this show and say, you know, I think Vince McMahon is involved a little bit creative. Like, you do not, this is not Drew McIntyre Clash at the Castle. And this is not Sami Zayn in Montreal. Cody Rhodes is not going to follow the footsteps of Drew and Sami and lose to Roman Reigns. Bron Breakker, you know, he's got to come to the main roster. And I think that happens right after WrestleMania, despite the reports that WWE is planning to bring Carmelo Hayes to the main roster. Carmelo Hayes is winning that fucking NXT title WrestleMania weekend. Carmelo Hayes ain't going to the main roster right now. I will be shocked, and I will give props to anybody who reported that tonight. But right now, they're just, to me, it comes across that, please click on my article. I don't buy it at all. I don't buy it at all. But thank you, Chris. All right. Official Thump. Acknowledge Roman. He hopes Jay don't betray him either. No, I thank you for the 5-spot, by the way. No, Jay Uso, listen. Yes, Paul Heyman. You remember last week, you know, stay home. Stay home. Because sometimes you see things on TV that you don't see live in person. That should lead to Roman confronting Jay. Am I right? You know, as I said that, I said to myself, because a lot of you have said this over the years, DT, you sound a lot like Paul Heyman. Sometimes the way I talk, people like, holy shit, you... Just now, I kind of like said to my, you know, it does sound like him a little bit. But that's maybe because we're both from New York. We're not that far off in age. And if I don't be careful, not too far off in the waistline as well. But I am almost 6'4". But now, Jey Uso, you almost feel like Roman's got to confront him. If Jay just turns on Sammy, then last week's stuff with Paul Heyman really leads to nowhere. So... No, I think in the end, Jay has to turn on. Listen, Kevin Owens challenging on behalf of Sammy and him for the tag titles at Mania would be stupid because you don't want Jay on one side and Sammy on the other reluctant. You can't have reluctancy there. This cannot be the island of reluctancy. You know, Kevin Owens is the challenge and Jimmy accepts it and Jay and Sammy are like, I don't want to hit him. No, you want hearts to be broken further. When Jay kicks Sammy in the fucking mouth, you're going to see the people in the crowd, they're going to be like, you can have all these podcasts that do all those facial reactions. That's what's going to happen. Did I just make something cool? The island of reluctancy? Hey, give me a little credit there. We do not want the island of reluctancy at WrestleMania. I don't think that's going to happen. So, all right. Theme parks and things with Johnny. What is my opinion on Wrestling Observer talking about WWE already, talking about Carmelo going in the main roster? Did you just click in? Thank you for the 10 spot, by the way. I just mentioned this like 3 minutes ago. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. Carmelo Hayes is going to be a future megastar on that main roster, and Trick Williams is going to make it too. Do not discount Trick Williams, but Carmelo Hayes, the NXT audience that tunes in every week, those are the ones that matter. not the people that are on Twitter that just watch, you know, clips here and there, and then they want to give their opinions on everything. We've been talking about Bron Breakker being stale in NXT for about 2 months. We've been pointing out for 2 months that Bron Breakker, advertised for main events in quarter hours, have been very unimpressive. People don't pay attention to that. So when the fans boo Bron Breakker or taunt him like they did Tuesday, people online are like, oh, the NXT fans are so fickle. No, no, you just haven't noticed. Carmelo Hayes is the heir apparent. He is the next in line to run NXT. Carmelo Hayes will be NXT heavyweight champion unless there's somebody on the back burner that is going to blow everybody out of the water and just show up, arrive, and become NXT champion. Somebody that's not on the main roster right now. If it's not Carmelo Hayes, it's somebody that is not on the NXT roster right now. And I don't see that happening. And please don't give me Jay White. You know, with all due respect, I like Jay White. But about 0.25% of the fans out there, they make it sound like he would get the AJ Styles Royal Rumble pop if he showed up on the night after WrestleMania. You know, no, he's not a household name in the Americas yet. So, no, I don't buy Carmelo Hayes coming to the main roster, you know, by Mania or right after Mania. No, I see him winning championship. So, all right. Last one for tonight. Antoine Fair, thank you for the 5 spot. Did I see Tony Khan call Ariel Helwani a fraud as much as a journalist as Tony Schiavone? Yes, I did. I'll say it like this tonight, because Ariel Helwani was on SmackDown. Apparently Tony Khan watches SmackDown. That's all I have to say. I don't want to talk about Tony Khan on this show tonight, because this is what Tony Khan wants. Tony Khan wants him and AEW to be in the same sentence with WWE all of the time. And as long as people keep doing that, you give Tony Khan what he wants. In my opinion, him angry at Ariel Helwani for showing up on SmackDown tonight, I think is stupid. I think this division, and I will talk about it next week or maybe even on Sunday. I'm not doing a rant over here now, because this show is about Elimination Chamber and SmackDown and WWE. It's not about Tony Khan. But yes, I saw what he wrote. It was uncalled for. I don't take it as a joke. And if Tony Khan comes back and says, he was just kidding around, well, your humor is as bad as Conan talking about Takeshita. Force of habit, everyone. And yeah, I know some people are like, whoa, you know, I talked about what Conan said about Takeshita. In my honest opinion, I do believe him when he said he was joking. It just wasn't a good joke. So, all right. We got a pair of run-ins, so we will continue this conversation in a few more minutes. Chris Silverwood, I talked about Bron Breakker already. Oh, this is E. Roger Rubio with a 2 spot, some coffee. Thank you very much, Roger. And tomorrow morning, since we're not doing a show, I will be going out for a little bit of coffee. So I will be having some coffee with the missus tomorrow. And she's bringing one of her Yorkies here. That's going to be interesting, because I never bring a dogs here. So I got to start bringing the dogs here. Hey, I'm married. You know, it's part of married life. But Ariel Helwani, you don't know who he is, Terry? You know, just the most, you know, one of the most credible sports journalists out there. That if you do an interview with Ariel Helwani, you better be prepared to answer very, very tough questions. And, you know, there's dissension. Listen, there's some legit dissension between Ariel Helwani and Tony Khan because of the last interview that happened between the two. Ariel asked some legit, honest questions. Tony Khan said, I don't want to talk about it. And Ariel Helwani said it was the most frustrating interview he's ever done. I think Tony Khan didn't do his research about Ariel Helwani, and maybe Ariel Helwani didn't do enough research about Tony Khan. But, you know, anyone else out there, if you interview Tony Khan, you know, you be prepared to, you know, give him a manicure, You know, give him some ice cream, maybe a cake pop. You know, maybe you massage his temples a little bit. You know, maybe you get one of those brushes that you use in the shower to, you know, massage his curly scalp and make him feel, you know, that he's being pampered. You know, that's my honest opinion. But see, this is why I didn't want to talk about Tony Khan stuff tonight. It has nothing to do with the Elimination Chamber or SmackDown. But hey, Helwani showed up on SmackDown. So yeah, he's got to be talked about a little bit. So no updates on Jeff Hardy, by the way. No updates yet. We did find out who rented the car, but I'm not putting it out there. I was told by a few people who I do trust in wrestling that said, don't go there. And I learned my lesson with the Perry Saturn stuff. I learned my lesson with the Kamala stuff. I learned my lesson with some of the things from yesteryear. You might uncover a big story, but in the process, you don't want a lot of people just hating on you as well. And me, I'm not a journalist. I opine. I do break stuff here from time to time, but I'm not going to cause all that crazy controversy shit. You know, if that comes out in court, then we'll talk about it. So I will tell you this. Tony Khan did not rent the car. Tony Khan did not rent the car. Well, I'll say it like this. Jeff should not have been driving the car. How's that? Ooh. I had to get blood work today. I just had this annoying Band-Aid. Hopefully a dog doesn't go in this room and start eating it. Oh, that's gross. I got to pick it up. All right, everyone. I'm out of here. Much love, as always. I hope you enjoy Elimination Chamber. You know it's going to be freaking awesome. And, you know, we'll see what everybody's predictions are. Now, just a reminder, for those who are a channel member here, you can take part in the predictions contest. It is now open to every channel member. Elite channel members get two shots. You get two entries. So if you're undecided about Brock, you can choose one entry saying Brock will win, and you can choose the other entry to say that Bobby Lashley will win. So that will be up there. You have until 3 o'clock on Saturday to enter your predictions. If you're a Patreon, then you can enter on the website as well. And if you're a member of both, then hey, if you win with your predictions, then you'll get two prizes, 50 times two. Pair of 50s coming across. Wow. I don't know if you could see this. Do you see that? It's like bleeding. It's bruised. Look at that. Could you see that? I just ripped that Band-Aid off, and it's like I ripped off like half of my skin. I'm not kidding. Look at that. That hurt. Holy shit, that hurt. All right, I'm out of here. Much love. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. And again, I hope everybody has a wonderful Saturday evening. If you are up tomorrow night, I don't expect this to be a very late show. I expect Elimination Chamber to be over around 11 o'clock, maybe into 11:30, the latest, but it is not going to be like Royal Rumble. This will be manageable, I would say 3 to 3.5 hours. They're going to have a huge crowd tomorrow, so they're not going to skimp on the time. 11 to 11:30 should be the time frame that a chamber will be go off the air, and as soon as it goes off the air, I go on the air. Be well, everyone. Enjoy. I hope to see you Saturday night after the chamber, or Sunday at 8 o'clock for the sit-down, or Monday. You know how it goes. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.